very conscious above everything else that the Lord is with her at this difficult time, for we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. We're going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 23, please. 1 Samuel chapter 23, and we'll read from verse number 13. Carrying on from where we were last week, verse 13. Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbade to go. And David arose in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David into the wood, and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, Fear not, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul, my father, knoweth. And they too made a covenant between the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went into his house. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, in the hill of Hakilah, which is the south of Jezemon? Now therefore, O king, come down, according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. And Saul said, Blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have had compassion on me. Go, I pray you, prepare yet, and know that, and see his place where his haunt is, and who hath seen him there, for it be told me that he dealeth very subtly. See therefore and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hideth himself, and come ye again to me with the certainty, and I shall go to you, and it shall come to pass, if he be in the land, that I will search him out throughout all the thousands of Judah. And they arose and went to Ziph before Saul, but David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jezemon. Saul also and his men went to seek him, and they told David. Therefore he came down unto a rock, and abode in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on this side of the mountain, and David and his men on that side of the mountain. And David made haste to get away for fear of Saul. For Saul and his men compassed David and his men round about to take them. But there came a messenger unto Saul, saying, Haste thee and come, for the Philistines have invaded the land. Wherefore Saul returned from pursuing after David, and went against the Philistines. Therefore they called that place Shalamachaloth. And David went up from thence, and dwelt in the strongholds at Engedi. We trust that God will bless the public reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. I want to talk this morning on perhaps a subject that not often preached on. I want to talk on the subject of friendship. And so I want you to think this morning not so much about how someone befriends you, but what sort of a friend you can be. When we last visited David, we noticed that there was some trouble. If you look up in verse number 1, then they told David, saying, Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Because the children of Israel had sort of turned upon themselves, then the Philistines saw the opportunity. They would come in and they would steal away the produce. And that's, of course, a lesson to us, isn't it? When there's division and dispute among God's people, very often then the devil will come in and we'll be robbed of any fruit. And so there were troubles there. These men of Keilah were being attacked by the Philistines, and it was discouraging and disheartening for them. But then there was triumphs, because David prayed. He asked the Lord what they should do, and David told him to go and to fight this battle. And of course, David had a wonderful victory. After the victory then came testing. And so often that's the case. So often after the highs, there comes the testing. I don't know much about playing football, but I'm told after a team scores a goal, that's when they're most vulnerable. After that high point, after that moment of success. And it can be the same in the work of God. And of course, there came this testing, because Saul heard what David had done, and Saul's going to come down. He thinks he has him surrounded. And therefore, Saul thought that somehow David would be trapped. David had learned many great lessons. Perhaps the greatest lesson was the need for prayer. And David had prayed about this, and David is able to escape. Now I want to pick it up in verse number 11, please. Pick the reading up in verse 11. And I say, this is a lesson on friendship. Look what it says in verse 11. Will the men of Keilah, and here's David, and he's asking the Lord a question. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. And so God is going to answer these questions. And he says, yes, if you look at the end of verse 11, he will come down. Now, there's no surprise in that. There's no surprise that Saul would come down to attack David. Saul hated David. Saul wanted to destroy David. But here's a more shocking question. Look at the beginning of verse 11. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Now remember what David has done. David has come down. He has helped these people. He has set them free. And he's asking the Lord a question. Will these men betray me? After all I've done for them, will they turn their back at me? If you look up at the end of verse number 5, it says, so David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. It's not an exaggeration to say that David was their savior. David had been their savior, and he's asking the question, will they appreciate what I have done, or will they sell me out? Will they betray me? George Herbert once said, thou who hast given so much to me, give me one more thing, a grateful heart. This is a test of their thankfulness, a test of their faithfulness, a test of their loyalty to David. Look at verse 12. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? Think of the question and look at the answer. And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. No gratitude at all. Indeed, David is learning that in this lessons of friendship, there can be those who should be our friends, but all we get is ungratitude. And this is what David is experiencing here. He had won a great victory. David had been homeless. He had been banished from his home. Remember, he'd been in a cave for a period of time. He had really no possessions. He was poor, if I can say that. He had only a few faithful followers. It's now up to 600. He was a rejected man. He was homeless. He was poor. He was rejected. And yet he became their savior. Isn't it a bit like our savior? Do you remember how he left his home in glory? He could say when he was here, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Isn't it true that he was poor? Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Wasn't he rejected? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And before we condemn the men of Keilah, let's ask ourselves a question. How much do we appreciate our Savior this morning? How much gratitude, how much loyalty, how much faithfulness have we shown the Lord this morning? For those who are not saved this morning, the greatest ungratitude surely has to be unbelief, unrepentance. If you don't know Christ this morning, in spite of all that he has done, you've turned your back on him and you've walked away from the Lord. David risked his life. The Lord Jesus gave his life in order that you might be redeemed. I wonder, have we ever betrayed the Lord? Perhaps this week. Perhaps the week that has passed and gone into eternity. Has there been an opportunity to stand up and speak for the Lord, but you haven't taken it? Has there been an opportunity to identify clearly with Jesus Christ, but you haven't taken it? Is it not a mark of ungratitude when we consider all the Lord has done for us? They showed no love for the one who saved them. There was no loyalty. There was nothing in their life to show that they deserved what David had done for them. They truly were an ungrateful crowd. But then I come back to the Lord this morning. How appreciative we've been of the Lord. Solomon, there's a couple of verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, which you don't often hear, but they illustrate this. Let me read them to you. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge seed works against it. Now there lived in that city a man poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. We don't know the background, but here's what it said. But nobody remembered that poor man. Couldn't that be true sometimes of our Lord Jesus Christ too? We fail to remember, we fail to show gratitude for what the Lord has done for us. You know, the Lord faced this when he was here, didn't he? Do you remember the 10 lepers in Luke 17? Do you remember 10 lepers were cleansed? Only one came back to say thank you. And the Lord asks a question that is a challenging question. Where are the 9? Where are the majority that I have cleansed? I wonder sometimes, and I'm not trying to hammer anyone this morning. I wonder if the Lord was to come back this morning and as we're gathered around this table, they ask the question, where are the 9? Where's the rest of them at this morning? When it comes to the gospel hour this evening, the gospel that reached you and saved you, the gospel that transformed your life, the gospel that you're supposed to love and cherish. And when the gospel is preached tonight, I wonder, could the Lord come and say, where are the 9? Or when we gather to study the word and to pray in the midweek meeting, could the Lord ask the question, where are the 9? So before we criticize these men of Keilah, let's look at ourselves this morning. David came, David risked his life, David rescued them, David became their savior. And yet they sold David out at the first chance. They betrayed David. They didn't stand up for David. They didn't support him. They didn't encourage David. I wonder how David would have felt if God had said, yes, David, they'll stand by you, they'll support you, they'll encourage you. Surely David would have been encouraged. Surely David would have been thrilled. And maybe this morning this cuts even closer to you. Maybe you have been let down by a friend. Maybe some friend has betrayed you. Someone you thought you could have counted on. Someone you thought would have helped you. Someone you thought would have been there. But when your back was against the wall, they were gone. And you feel hurt this morning. And you feel let down this morning. And you feel betrayed this morning. Joseph knew what that was like. Do you remember Joseph, we interpreted the dreams, it says in Genesis 40 verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Sometimes in life we meet ungrateful friends. Then David met some unscrupulous friends. Look at verse 13. I just want to say a little bit about friendship this morning. Look at verse 13. Then David and his men, they knew they had to get out of this place, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go. And so David gets out of there, and so Saul gives up on this particular occasion. Look at verse 14. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. David now goes to this place called Ziph. It's a city in the mountains of Judah. So he's going into Israel again. He's going into a tribe that he belongs to. Remember, David was a Judean as well. What will the people in Ziph do? Surely they should be on David's side. At least you would expect them to be neutral. Look at verse 15. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life, and David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. Look down to verse 19. Then came up the Ziphites to Saul in Gibeah, saying, doth not David hide himself with us in strongholds in the wood, and the hill of Hachaliah, which is in the south of Jezemon? Now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. Do you see how they betray David? Do you see how they go to Saul? They say, Saul, we know you're looking for David, and I'm paraphrasing, David's with us. He's hiding in our territory. You come down, we'll deliver him into your hands. They wanted to impress the king. They wanted popularity. They wanted personal gain. Our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. I wonder, is that how we pick our friends? Through popularity and personal gain. If there's something in it for me, then I'm willing to be your friend. They were wanting to be Saul's friend because they realized that and thought that Saul would do something for them. What was right didn't matter. The right thing didn't matter. Come over to Psalm 54 because David has written a psalm under inspiration about this very incident. I should say that Irene seems to be okay. She's walked out okay, so we just trust that Irene will make a full recovery, just to keep you in the loop this morning. Look at Psalm 54. Look at the title to Psalm 54. To the chief musician on Naganoth, Maskil, a psalm of David when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, doth not David hide himself with us? Now, look at verse number 3. Look what David says, for strangers are risen up against me. Do you remember? These men should have been David's friends. And David says they're strangers. It's an awful thing when sometimes God's people can treat some like strangers. We always teach our children not to talk to strangers. And sometimes we can treat God's people like they're strangers. We don't talk to them. We don't bother with them. We just forget about them. Have you someone this morning, and as far as you're concerned, you've made them strangers? This is how David felt. They had become strangers to David. Verse 3, for strangers are risen up against me, oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. They haven't taken God into account. What's right, what's biblical, what's spiritual doesn't matter. They see an opportunity for popularity, an opportunity for promotion, and therefore they forget about David. David's realizing not only are there ungrateful friends, there are some unscrupulous friends. They'll want to be your friend when you're popular and you have something to give them. You get yourself in a tight spot, and you'll see they disappear like snow of a ditch. But then there were some, at least one very understanding friend that David had here. Look at verse 16. I've spoken on this many times. And here was David. He had met some ungrateful people. He had met some unscrupulous people. But here was someone who was an understanding friend. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose, verse 16, and went to David into the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of my father, the hand of Saul my father, shall not find thee. And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee. And that also Saul my father knoweth. Do you see the sort of friend that Jonathan was? And he comes to David. And even though it was costly, look what it says. Jonathan, Saul's son, for the son of the king to side with David. He was kissing goodbye to the throne. Because either David would be the king, as God had said, or else Saul would disown Jonathan. So he is happy to walk away from the throne. It was going to cost him a lot to be David's friend. But that's what real friends do. No matter about the cost, they're there for you. They're there beside you. And they don't walk away from you when you find yourself in a difficult, difficult place. Didn't matter about the cost. He was going to stand by his friend. Look at the circumstances. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods. I can imagine these woods were a dark place, a damp place, a dreary place. But Jonathan says, I'll still your friend even though you're in the woods. Yes, I'll be your friend when you're wealthy. That's easy, isn't it? I'll be your friend when I can make use of you. But I don't want to be your friend when you're in the woods. I don't want to be your friend when you're no use to me and there's nothing in it for me. And Jonathan was a friend who loved in spite of the circumstances, because a friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. Tell me this morning, do you know somebody who's in the woods? Do you know a believer this morning and they're in the woods? And how they could do with you? How they could do with a phone call? How they could do with you just showing that you really, really care? They may not be where they used to be. They may not be in the top. They maybe don't have anything to give you back. But isn't that what love is? Isn't that what agape love is? Isn't it a self-sacrificing love? Isn't that how we are to love our wives? And when somebody's in the woods, all of a sudden they're just abandoned. But Jonathan was different. Didn't matter about the cost. Didn't matter about the circumstances. Look at the comfort he brings, verse 16. It says he strengthened his hand in God. How I thank God for friends like that. Times when the devil has you down. Times when you doubt nearly everything. Times when you just need a shoulder to lean on. Times when you just need someone to encourage you in some little way. And just to strengthen your hand in God. Proverbs 27 verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. The Lord said to Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When they are converted, strengthen thy brethren. How did Jonathan strengthen David? Look at verse 17. And he said unto him, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee, and thou shalt be king. Do you know what he's doing? He's reminding David of the promises that God had given to David. And he says, my father knows it too. Even your enemies know that God's with you. And Jonathan is reminding David, and he's strengthening his hand on God by taking him back to the word of God and the promises of God. It's paradoxical. Because in order to help people, you're really going and saying, I can do nothing for you. But God will remember you. And God will strengthen you. And God's going to stand by you. David met ungrateful friends, unscrupulous friends. But here was an understanding friend. Let me finish off by talking about an unequal friend. If you're still in Psalm 54, this psalm is really written for those who feel let down, those who have had disappointments. Now, look where David starts in verse 1 of Psalm 54. And I'll do this quickly. Remember, David has been let down. The men of Keilah, David put himself out for them. David went for them. He didn't care about the cost. He risked his own life. And at the first test, they betrayed him. And they sold him. They were just a pack of Lundies. That's all they were. Just sold him. But here's David. What's David going to do? Look at Psalm 54, verse 1. Save me, O God, by thy name. He claims the name of God. Judge me by thy strength. He's looking for the power of God. Hear my prayer, O God. You know what David does? And I'm becoming a bit of a parrot up here. Because I've said it so many times. God answers prayer. And prayer makes a difference. And we've spent 10 weeks now looking at prayer on Wednesday night. And I think nearly every week I've said, God answers prayer, and prayer makes a difference. And dear people of God, let's get it into our heads. We need to be men and women of prayer. Have you prayed about it yet? You're hurt. You're bleeding. You're wounded. You're betrayed. And a friend has betrayed you for 30 pieces of silver. And here's the remedy that David found. David found it in prayer. And here's something that David remembered. Look at verse 4. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. David realizes that God will be with him. Someone said, when friends let you down, God picks you up. And here David realizes that God hasn't betrayed him. God hasn't abandoned him. He says, God is my helper. Look at David's reaction in verse number 6. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name. Sometimes when we get hurt, we walk away from the Lord. It doesn't make sense. But sometimes when we get hurt, we abandon the Lord. We abandon the Lord's people. We go into our own little pity party. And David could have done that. David says, I'm not going to abandon the Lord because some people have let me down, because some people have betrayed me. He says, I'm going to freely sacrifice unto thee. I'm going to praise thy name, O Lord, for God's name is surely good. Now, look at the relief in verse number 7. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye has seen his desire upon mine enemies. God stepped in and delivered David. And when you go back to 1 Samuel 23, you'll read how it happened. Saul was ready to attack. David had no escape. It was likely this would be the end of David from a human perspective. But then word came to Saul that the Philistines have attacked, and Saul had to leave and go and fight the Philistines, and David was spared. God did it in a way that only God could have done it. And God stepped in and God delivered David. Why? Because God answers prayer. And David realized, although there were unscrupulous and ungrateful friends, and yes, there were some understanding friends, but he had an unequal friend, the Lord God, a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, one who will never betray us, one who will never forsake us, one who will never, ever let us down. What sort of a friend are you this morning? Everybody needs friends. And I'm always concerned when I see someone isolated and friendless. Everybody needs friends. What sort of a friend are you this morning? Ungrateful? Unscrupulous? Or are you an understanding friend? Thank God we have an unequal friend. Let me finish with this. Go back to 1 Samuel 23. I just want to show you this. Because God really laid this in my heart. Look at 1 Samuel 23, verse 16. This is a verse I've come to many, many times preaching in different places, and I've shared it with you again this morning. But sometimes you notice something new. In verse 16, God really spoke to me about this. It says, Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went. Do you know someone who's in the woods this morning? Jonathan knew someone who was in the woods. Jonathan could sit in his hands in the palace. Jonathan could think about his friend. Do you ever send someone a message and say, I'm thinking about you? Jonathan could have done that. But look what Jonathan did. Jonathan arose and he went. He arose and he went. One day in glory, the Lord Jesus arose And God the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. He arose and he went to Calvary for you. And maybe specifically this morning, because God talks in specifics. You have a friend. They're in the woods. And God's saying, it's time you arose. It's time you went. It's time for you to help them. That's how God spoke to me. That's what I have to share with you. Let's bow in a moment's prayer. Lord, we look back over our Christian life and how we thank you for so many great friends. Thank you, Lord, for those moments when someone just draws alongside and they strengthen thine hand in God. Lord, help me to be that sort of friend. But Lord, we thank you too for that friend that sticks closer than a brother. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, what a friend we have in Jesus. Truly, there is no friend like the Lord Jesus. But Lord, maybe specifically this morning, someone in this congregation this morning, Lord, maybe just even one person knows someone who needs to hear from them. Lord, if it's me, give me the grace to arise and go. Bless thy word to our hearts this morning. For it's in our Savior's precious name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing hymn number 440.